Good afternoon and welcome to the Friday, February 24th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. If anyone in the room is here for Senate Bill 1513, we will not be taking that bill up today. And so I apologize if you came from a ways to hear about that bill, but we will not be dealing with that. So everything else on our agenda, we will. So I will start by opening a work session on House Concurrent Resolution 206. And Erin, would you like to tell us what this is?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. HCR 206 memorializes Oregon Department of Corrections Officer Buddy Ray Heron, 1969 to 2011. This measure comes to you from your House Rules Committee and off the House floor with 60-0 votes. There is a no revenue, no fiscal impact on the resolution.
Thanks very much, Erin. And I think we don't have anybody here to testify. I know Senator Nelson has a strong interest in this resolution, the fallen officers from his district, so I'm sure he would be pleased to carry it. So if we have a motion, Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, thank you. I would move that House Concurrent Resolution 206 be taken to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved HCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mm-hmm. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And we'll ask Senator Nelson to carry the resolution. And I'll close the work session. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 4006A. Erin.
House Bill 4006A requires State Fish and Wildlife Commission to consult with affected cities, counties, private landowners, and local service districts prior to making determination that species is threatened or endangered, requires commission to work with affected cities, counties, and private landowners and local service districts to mitigate adverse impact on local economies when commission adds species to list of threatened species or endangered species. There is an emergency clause on the original measure, and that there is a no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact on the dash A. This comes to you from your Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, where they had a public hearing on the 21st and a work session yesterday on February 23rd.
Okay, thank you, Erin. We are in a work session. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4006A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 4006A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Byer, did you have a comment? Okay. Any objection? Motion carries. And since this came from Senator Dinkfelder's committee, we'll ask her to carry it on the floor. And I'll close the work session. And I will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1517. Members, this was one of our elections placeholder bills. I believe we have a dash one amendment. So, Erin, would you like to tell us what that is?
Yes, Madam Chair. The dash one amendment to Senate Bill 1517, it replaces the original measure. It modifies requirements of county election security plans to include the number and location of any video cameras located where ballots may be tallied. It requires the county clerk, at time the clerk proclaims results of election, to submit to the Secretary of State a record of the number of ballots printed, the number of ballots mailed and issued at the office of county clerk, the returned undeliverable ballots, rejected ballot envelopes, tallied ballots, and ballots used for duplication, test, and archive ballots. It requires the county clerk, at the end of voting on election day, to mark each duplicate ballot and mark or seal, secure an account for unused ballots. Requires county clerk, as soon as practicable after election, to destroy unused ballots. The measure also repeals and modifies statutes governing absentee ballots. There is an emergency clause on the dash one amendment. There is a no revenue impact and no fiscal impact on the dash one amendment. And we did receive testimony prior to the committee from Wendy Frome.
Thank you, Erin. And we do have several people signed up to testify on the bill. And I'll start by calling Steve Trout. Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Steve Trout, State Election Director. And thanks at this late point in the session for allowing me to come and testify in support of the Dash One amendments to Senate Bill 1517. This bill represents a real collaborative effort with county clerks, both sides of the aisle, with House members Wingard and Garrett over the interim that we sat down and were able to work on this legislation to increase the security, transparency, and accountability of our ballot security options. We also go into some outdated sections of absentee ballots. Now that we've been a vote-by-mail state for over a decade, we have long-term absent electors, which are those military and overseas voters, but really we don't have absentee ballots because everybody gets a ballot through the mail. And so with that, the statutes haven't really kept up with our evolution of vote-by-mail. And so along with those absentee sections that we have that we are proposing to be deleted, we're also going into some of the ballot security questions. There have been some concerns raised that not all ballots are being destroyed at 8 o'clock on election night as some people read the statute. The statute is very clear in that says that it's actually two parts. It says county clerk shall destroy all unused absentee and regular ballots. So it's not all ballots. We have many other kinds of ballots that that aren't identified there. But then in the second section, it says each county shall provide for the security of and shall account for unused ballots. So really that's what provides us with the guarantee that there's no tampering, no ballot box stuffing, for lack of a better term. And so this bill, what we tried to do was go through and provide an accounting. So every county clerk, upon certification of their election results, will be required to provide to us as a public document so that the public could see, the candidates could see, any interested party could see, a number of things: the number of total ballots printed, the number of ballots mailed to voters, the number of ballots issued to voters at the county clerk's office, the number of ballots that came back that couldn't be delivered, the number of rejected ballot envelopes, number of ballots tallied, the number of ballots used for duplication, number of test ballots, number of archived ballots. So there's a broad range of things here that election administrators have for need for ballots at different points. And so what we're trying to do with this list was to provide an accounting so that the public could see that, yes, the number of ballots counted doesn't exceed the number of ballot envelopes that came back. That would be a problem. And so we thought that this would provide more transparency and give people a better, more confidence and trust in the process. We also have security cameras that have been installed in all but, I believe, two counties, anywhere that ballot tabulation will be taking place. And so we've really been trying to focus on some of the criticisms that we've heard about security around our elections. So the main point that we want to make is that this list will be made public. Any ballots that are to be used for duplication purposes will be marked so that anybody can see that this ballot was duplicated. We maintain a record of the original source ballot that the voter sent in to link to that ballot so that we can always go back to the piece of paper that the voter marked and turned in, even if the machine won't read that piece of paper, if the machine won't be able to read that piece of paper. And then with respect to any unused ballots, those will either be marked as unused after the polls closed, or sealed up in boxes or shrink wrapped on a pallet and put in a locked room. Whichever way they would be sealed and secured to make sure that nobody has access to those. One of the main things that some of the testimony I'm sure you will hear after me is that these ballots should be destroyed. Once a ballot is destroyed, I can't put an election back together to be able to prove to someone after the count, to be able to go back and show and account for every single ballot to say which ones counted and which ones didn't. If a ballot's been destroyed, I can't prove whether that was a blank ballot, whether that was a ballot that was cast for voter X. We're required to maintain all ballots that have votes on them if there's a federal contest on there for 2 years. And so my recommendation going forward and what the counties do now is not to destroy any ballots until after the time has passed for a contest or challenge of that election. So we want to keep those ballots so that we can recreate an election at any point up until the time for that challenge or contest period has ended, and then at that time the counties can go ahead and destroy the ballots. So I think that summarizes what we're trying to do here. Again, we've had good cooperation from Republicans, Democrats, and the county clerks, and think this is a good public policy.
Okay, any questions, Senator Beyer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve, I hadn't really thought about this before, but are ballots security numbered, like checks?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, no. And part of that is so that we can maintain the secrecy of the ballot. We don't want to be able to link a particular ballot with a particular person.
So we do have
a list of how many ballots of each ballot style that we have that we can go back and use for accounting purposes.
How do the counties know exactly how many they got? I know that you request the normal printing cycle. You say, I want 20,000 copies of this form, but usually when a printer delivers them back to you, they deliver you an excess amount. How do they make sure of that?
Right. So, Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, again, there are thousands of different ballot styles within the state. So, depending on which water district and fire district and school district and congressional mm-hmm. district and Senate district, all those different combinations all have to be on a separate ballot style. So, again, there are thousands of them within the state. And then each county will go forward and order those ballots. They usually come back in a box that says how many are in there. The practice in the past has been that the printers would put in an overage just mm-hmm. to make sure that they had enough. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the county clerks have been working with their printers to say, I appreciate your good intentions here, but we'd really, if it says 1,500 in the box, we'd really like to have 1,500 and not 1,505.
Or 1,495.
Exactly.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Trapp? Okay, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Your testimony. And we have four other people signed up. I don't know if there's anyone else in the room who missed the sign-up sheet, but I'll call Wendy Frome and Ruth Bendel. If you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And whichever one of you would like to go first, please go ahead, introduce yourself, and tell us what you have to say.
My name is Ruth Bendel. I'm the Voter Integrity Chair for the Republican Party in Washington County. I have grave concerns about this amendment to this Senate bill. Number one, I've sent in written testimony, but you may not have received it. I only got it done this afternoon. But number one, ORS 254.483 was imposed after we got vote by mail. And vote by mail is totally different. I've heard that there are contradictions to ORS 253.045, which was a 1979 bill, which did give discretion to the county clerks as to when to dispose of unused ballots, for the simple reason that unused ballots were in the majority at polling places, and some of them never even reached the elections office until well after 9 o'clock at night. But the fact of the matter is that ORS 254.483, when it was first imposed in its elongated form, provided for the destruction of the unused ballots or the preparation for destruction of unused ballots for election board members to be doing that, with the county clerk responsible for making sure that they were ready for destruction at 8 o'clock at night. And you have to realize that the election board people in some counties are there as early as 7 days before the election, opening ballots and the like, and often waiting around for ballots to be ready to be opened. There is plenty of time for the election board members to fulfill their function, particularly on election day when they are still waiting for ballots that have come from ballot drop sites to be ready for opening. So it is just unfortunate that the Senate officials have been telling county clerks not to uphold ORS 254.483. I've been at a number of elections offices, particularly in Multnomah County, and have seen the pictures and have seen the fact that there were thousands of unused ballots in boxes lying around. It's also a fact of life that with vote by mail, we have tens of thousands of undeliverable ballots also returned to the elections offices, which the election board people could be opening those envelopes and giving the putting those unused ballots in their ballot stars, tabulating them and having them ready for destruction, which is usually done by a shredder, a company that provides a shredding machine and could deal with it at 8 o'clock on election evening. From all the times that I have been watching at the elections offices, I have always been told the golden rule is not to have any unused ballots around after ballot count begins. I urge you not to go along with this amendment, to defeat this amendment, remove it from Senate Bill 1517. It is inappropriate, and there is certainly a lack of transparency. Having been at elections offices and doing the monitoring, there is no possibility that people who are trying to observe the process with this process and even with the current process can possibly be able to monitor what's going on. And the secrecy that is in this process for 3 weeks from the time the unused ballots are there until after the election is certified is unacceptable. Please defeat this amendment, and let us please ask our state elections officials to uphold the law until at least they have instated a new law. That some questions need to be asked why county clerks were being told not to uphold the law. Thank you. And there have been some other people who have signed on to my testimony, and you will get that in your files.
Yes, thank you very much. We actually have your written testimony
thank
now.
You.
And so we do have several people who want to testify, so I'll ask people to try to summarize their testimony and not, if what you are wanting to say has been said, try not to repeat what somebody else has already said.
Okay, I will do that. My name is Wendy Fromm, and I just drove up here from Albany. I've been watching this issue for a while, and this just came up 3 hours ago, and I thought I've got to get up here I think we need to clarify a few things with this. I agree with Mr. Trout that there are some good additions to the safeguarding of the ballots apparently there's people working to instill, but I still don't understand the need to have thousands of unused ballots sitting around election offices The only thing I've heard is we need those, if we need ballots to recreate an election, why do we need unused ballots to recreate an election? None of us here today are saying destroy ballots that have been marked. Those definitely need to be safeguarded. And if there needed to be a recount, yes, definitely you pull those sealed boxes out and do a proper recount. But unused ballots, why are they ordering thousands of extra ballots to be on hand? That's a question that we need to answer. Some counties are actually printing 10 to 15% above their voter lists. And that seems very unacceptable to me. I think what we have to ask ourselves today, do we want more secure elections, or do we want, are we moving towards less secure elections? And I believe with this law, with this bill, if it becomes law, it will unmistakably move us to less secure direction. Like Ruth said, we have a law in place right now to destroy unused ballots, not ballots that have been cast. And that's a very important part of our safeguarding our elections. And another thing is that we are losing public oversight over elections. With vote by mail, we have lost so much public oversight with our elections. And so we need to be very, very careful with these things that are put in place, keeping track of things. That is great. But having unused ballots, that's one part of the equation we could eliminate if we just got rid of those at 8 o'clock on election night. As soon as the last ballot is cast, get rid of all the blank ones, and then there's no question. There's also an interesting part of this bill, and I thought this was corrected when this was before the House Rules Committee. It was said that this was corrected, but on line 2, actually page 2, line 20, it says a security plan developed and filed under subsection 1 of this section is confidential and not subject to disclosure. So this list of things here are for counties, and they are supposed to have their own county security procedures for elections, and they submit those to the Secretary of State. That's great, except that if they're confidential, not subject to disclosure, that eliminates public oversight over the very thing that we want public oversight on. So that's a problem with this amendment. One of the reasons they say that they can't destroy the ballots at 8 o'clock is that they don't have time on election night because they're very busy. There's a solution to that. We could be destroying the extra ballots after the last ballots are mailed out. And any extra ballots that we needed, now we do need extra ballots to substitute, like if someone spills coffee on their ballot and they need to go back into the county clerk and get a ballot, sure, they'll have a ballot there for them, but make sure that's a ballot that's printed in a different color so that we know that's a replacement ballot. That's not one of the count that was sent out. I know that some are doing watermarks on those replacement ballots. Unfortunately, a watermark is not visible to these election. We have election observers that are volunteering hours and hours of their time, and they go into these county, and they're sitting behind glass windows, and the table or machine that's processing these ballots, you cannot see a watermark from there. Another part of this unused ballots thing is there's boxes of ballots that are being returned to the election offices because they've been mailed to an address where the voter isn't anymore. So they're being returned undeliverable. And so those go into boxes, but there are counties that are pulling those out and using those as their temporary or their substitute ballots. That's a total breach of security. And I ask again, why are our voter lists so inaccurate? Are the county clerks, they need to have accurate voter lists. If it requires an audit from the county or the state, that needs to happen. So I just feel like people that are desperate to get someone elected will take measures to change the results of an election. And so we need to be working towards secure elections, not away from secure elections. We need to protect our ballots like they're gold. We're sending out ballots who knows where. They're going to people that aren't living there. They're coming back returned. Are we really valuing those ballots? Some counties will actually save those envelopes and use those forwarding envelopes, you know, there's a little yellow sticker, and use that as their information for updating their voter rolls. Would we or anyone send something of value using an address off a forwarding label? No, but we are sending our ballots that way, and we're really disvaluing the voting process and the election process. We're counting on our election officials to make every step to make our elections safe and subject to public oversight and transparent to the voters. And the state law right now is to protect our vote by destroying those ballots in a timely manner. And it's in place for a very good reason. And so I move that you do not move this amendment out of committee. Thank you.
Could I just add one thing, please, to my testimony? It's been suggested by at least one county clerk that instead of having an unused ballot or another ballot for a duplicate where there's coffee being spilled on a ballot, they're very happy to use tally sheets, and then the number from the tally sheet would go on the number of the duplicate ballot of the ballot itself, so that there would be a way that you keep the ballot, the original ballot with its coffee stain or whatever it is, in an envelope with the tally sheet, and they would use those scores in the reconciliation process. That I have already heard from at least one county clerk. So there is no need to keep unused ballots in any shape or form. Thank you very much for giving us the time.
Thank you for your testimony. Okay, we have several other people, three signed up, and I'll call them all. Doug Davina, Greg Leo, and Janice Deisinger.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I'm Doug Devina, and I'm from Sherwood, Oregon. I just wanted to—I actually signed on with Ruth Bendel's testimony, so I don't need to repeat her testimony. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Janice Deisinger. I'm a resident of Multnomah County, and Madam Chair and Committee members, thank you for letting me come today. I've been working on this issue for quite some time, and this bill's come up in many different forms, and I just got the notice that it was again put in this one, and it concerns me that we keep going over this issue. It's been defeated many times, and I think there's good reason for it. I also signed Ruth's letter, and so I don't want to go over those same things, but in addition to that, I want to point out that the electronic isolation of our counting machines is very critical, and if that electronic data is compromised, if it were to be infected by some type of malware, that we've seen that throughout the country, that if you can get around the public test with certain kinds of malware. And I asked a computer expert to come in. His name was Robert Robert McCulloch, and that's his job. He investigates corporate computer fraud. And he came and evaluated the security in Multnomah County for me from what we could gather of the information. And he warned me that a USB drive could be used, even with a password-protected computer, to insert malware into a counting machine. Well, I know that the counting machine was accessed by members of the staff to transfer the data from the counting machines out to the PC in the office and then disseminated throughout the state. And if that, I don't know if it was, but if that USB drive were taken back in and put back in the machine to get the next update, if that was repeated, if they use a separate one, that would be better. But there is a possibility, and I'm not saying it has happened, but there is a possibility for the electronic security to be violated. That, along with the fact that you keep unused ballots around, leads to quite a bit of insecurity on the part of the public as to the security of our elections. And we are asking for this safeguard to be put in place that would destroy the opportunity for mischief by destroying these unused ballots, and they all should be destroyed, whether they're returned undeliverable. You can keep the envelope for your records, but the actual blank ballot is a blank ballot and should be destroyed. If a recount is called and these blank ballots are still in the office, it gives no confidence into the recount. And so I just ask that you would please consider that along with these other things that have been brought up today. And please don't pass this amendment. It destroys the public's confidence in our voting system. I thank you for your time very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the Senate Rules Committee, my name is Greg Leo. I'm here today in my capacity as Chief of Staff of the Oregon Republican Party. There has been a very kind of detailed work group that's looked at this question over on the House side. We had these amendments not in the same form. There's actually some corrections that we had made to these amendments that are not represented, I believe Ruth Bendel referred to. And the decision on the other side was that this was not sufficiently discussed to go forward. The House Rules Committee chose not to go forward with the -3 amendments to their bill. And frankly, the Oregon Republican Party looked at all of the ballot changes that we think are required at this particular time, the biggest of which we think is the changes related to the opening of our statewide primary to non-affiliated voters, or what we call the Freedom Primary. We felt there's a very important need for the /4 amendments on the House side, which would remove the postcard requirement for a non-affiliated voter to actually fill out a postcard in order to vote as a non-affiliated in the Republican primary. As you probably read from news accounts, the State Central Committee has opened up the statewide primary to non-affiliated voters. Unfortunately, the statute requires a very expensive postcard process for non-affiliated voters to deal with that. We considered that -4 amendment to be in the same kind of genre here of ballot-related issues, and now we don't see that that amendment is here even being considered. And so the bottom line, I think, with 1571/1 is we would recommend that the committee does not pass this. I do want to apologize to my Republican members. I have not had a chance to talk to our Republican senators about this, so I apologize publicly for not having done that. But frankly, I wasn't aware this was coming up until today, to tell you the truth. So this is an important issue that goes to the transparency and the credibility of Oregon elections. It's something that needs to be considered carefully and given adequate time to make those kinds of statutory changes which really give Oregonians confidence in the elections process. Thank you for hearing our testimony today.
Yeah, thank you very much for your testimony. And are there any questions for these witnesses?
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Senator Farioli.
The two issues that were raised in testimony, I'd like to hear Mr. Trout address the need for unvoted ballots to be retained. And the bill before us with the proposed amendments has been presented to us as a compromise and actually a work group product. So I'd like to hear more about the -4 amendments and what position, you know, that occupied within the work group product on the House side.
Very good.
See if all of those provisions are moving forward together or have been lost in translation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
If I may.
Are you, Senator Farioli, I'm not clear, are you posing that question
to Steve Trout? Well, I was posing the question
Steve
to
Trout or?
Mr. Trout. And if actually any of the witnesses that would care to answer, but if this was a collaborative process, and I understand that's what it is, perhaps the place wherein the -4 amendments were decided to be moved forward or not, that's interesting to me. The other thing is I would like to give Mr. Trout the opportunity to enumerate the reasons why we would need to retain some unvoted ballots.
So if you'd like to comment on that, please go ahead, and then we'll ask
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli, very briefly. I know your time is really tight here at the end of the session, but there was a collaborative effort, and I think a very good discussion by Representative Wingard and Representative Garrett to come up with a compromise. We were vetting that statewide with Republicans who care deeply about this issue, and we frankly got quite a disagreement of opinion. Where not all these changes are universally supported, and we represented that in the work group. We do think some of these things might be a step forward, but this, to me, is the kind of legislation that needs more discussion, more work group time, more careful review before it gets passed through at the end of a legislative session. We are absolutely committed to working with the Secretary of State, the county clerks, the Democratic Party of Oregon, and others to come up with a solution which works for everybody. But frankly, we don't believe these amendments are ready for prime time.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Welcome back.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Steve Trout again, State Election Director, and thanks for the opportunity to come up and address a couple of those issues. First, Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, with respect to the collaborative process, this bill or a variation of this bill came up at the end of last session, and there wasn't enough time to get full agreement on that. And so the House Rules Committee assigned Representative Garrett and Representative Wingard to work with our office to come up with some solutions in conjunction with the county clerks, and we did that. And so that was the initial bill that was in the House. We came forward with a Dash 3 amendment, which just clarified some drafting issues that one had come out that said that this report would not be public, but that it would be confidential, and with all of this, the objective of being transparent, we absolutely wanted that to be a public document. With respect to the Dash 4 amendments, those were never considered in this work group. I never had any conversations with either Representative Garrett or with Representative Wingard with respect to the Dash 4 amendments. Those just came up within the last week and a half. That Representative Olson approached me about those. So it was not part of our process, again, in coming up with policy corrections that we're intending in this bill. Just a couple other items of clarification. There was a comment made about the yellow postal tags that come back on undeliverable ballots. Federal law requires the county clerks to take that information and to update the record of the voter, but what they do is they cancel the registration associated with the address that it came back as undeliverable with, requires the county to send a postcard to that address to say, hey, we got notice from the post office saying that you don't live here anymore. If you still live here, let us know. And then at the same time, while they update the registration record in the voter registration database, it's not active. They send the voter at the new address indicated from the post office saying, we've been notified from the post office that your address has changed to this. Your voter registration has been inactivated. In order to vote in the future, you need to respond to this postcard to confirm that this is your new address. So that's all part of federal law, National Voter Registration Act, and totally appropriate and proper for the counties to be doing. I also want to make it clear that I have in my office, neither my office or I have ever told a county to ignore state law. I believe that counties, all of the counties, are in full compliance with the current state of the law, and we have just been trying to clean this section up to avoid some of the accusations that you've heard today. With respect for the need for extra ballots, to Senator Farioli's question, the worst thing that a election administrator can do is run out of ballots. They make their orders for ballots well before the voter registration deadline. In big elections like a presidential year this year, we'll have thousands of new registrants come in after after those orders for ballots are placed. So the counties have to make an estimate of the number of ballots that they are going to use. With the printing process and all of the ballot, different ballot styles, as I explained to Senator Beyer, the printers, it's just as easy for them to print 25 as it is for them to print 17 or 16. And so they have the run batches, and it's much more efficient and cost effective for them to run those ballots once rather than having to come back halfway through and ask for other ballots to be printed, and so that's part of the reason. But I think the biggest reason in the bigger counties, you're going to have more unused ballots, and that's simply because they have more ballot styles and more extras on hand in case they get a big registration rush at the end, or for whatever damage there is to the ballots. You know, like was explained, somebody spills coffee on it. I was corrected by the co-speaker last week and says that I should be talking about ballots that have Coke spilled on them. But you know, whatever reason they get damaged, we have to have those ballots to be able to account for and represent the votes of all of our voters and count those.
Senator Farrelly, go ahead.
So what is the appropriate time for the unused ballots to be destroyed?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, as I stated earlier, I believe as soon as the period to contest the election or 40 days after the election has passed, so that we have that time to be able to say, you know, these are all of the ballots. There weren't any that were destroyed that were really marked for a certain candidate. And so to maintain those, we'll have ballots coming back in up to 10, 12 days later. If a voter signature doesn't match, a letter or a card is sent to that voter to say, hey, your signature didn't match. We're not going to count your ballot unless you come in and prove who you are. So there are some ballots that won't even be opened for 10 days after the election that may have damage and need to be marked.
Madam Chair, I needed to clarify. My question was unclear.
Well, please go ahead and
Ms. Trout, I meant what is the appropriate time frame into which to destroy unvoted ballots, unmarked ballots? What would be the appropriate juncture in the election cycle to get rid of the unvoted ballots?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, I would say the same time, because I can't prove to you whether that ballot I destroyed was marked or whether it was not marked. And once I start destroying ballots, I can't put them back together again to be able to prove to you or to the public or anyone whether it was marked or whether it was unmarked. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the testimony I think that you heard today is suspicion about that process. And so it seems to me if I go destroying ballots, that's even going to increase the suspicious activities of our county clerks. And I'd like to add that, you know, there hasn't been one allegation or any proof that ballot tampering has taken place. And I just want to make sure that that's clear and that our county election officials are following the law and following these very detailed double checks and triple checks to make sure that the ballots are secure and counted accurately.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly.
The conundrum the is clear that the trust issue is the issue. And I would suggest that people might have just as great a suspicion that voted ballots were disappearing as they would as unvoted ballots are disappearing, because it's the final tally that matters. You know, and the suspicion is well-rooted in history. People have said for generations, it doesn't matter how many people vote as long as I get to count the ballots. And that's where the suspicion comes from. But I don't know how to allay all the fears, nor do I think it's our business to try to do that. I want the people who are skeptical of ballot security always to be skeptical of ballot security, deeply skeptical, and to keep pushing us to do things like count every ballot, voted, unvoted, and otherwise, and account for the status of every ballot, mailed and returned, and otherwise, and, you know, to be able to deliver the count of the secrecy envelopes that were received and make sure that that matches the number of ballots that are voted and counted. And if ballots are disqualified, I want to know how many and why. And if they're replaced and voted, I want to know how many and why. And, you know, that is the attempt that I see here. It is not perfect. And I expect the folks that are skeptical not to have none of their fears allayed by this bill. none of them, that we ask them to continue to be skeptical, because to allow complacency would be to invite corruption into the process. Madam Chair, if I may, just a bit more. The thing that I would love to see is taken up by some other legislature in the future, not this one, because we're close to the end, is that those folks who offer to collect ballots on behalf of other people to deliver the ballots be required to deliver those ballots in a timely manner, not to warehouse the ballots. And we've seen thousands, tens of thousands of ballots come parading in boxes during election eve. Sometimes, what is it, 90,000 is the catch record so far? 90,000 ballots delivered that were held somewhere beyond the control of elections officials between the time they were voted and the time they were delivered. There's no verifiable chain of custody. That gives me great skepticality. So at some point in time, I'd like to see us as a legislature say to folks, you can collect it, but you have to deliver it timely to the elections official. Those are the folks that have the requirement to be warehousing those ballots in a secure and countable manner. The other thing is that we'll never have ballot security until we have as rigorous a procedure for registering electors as we do for getting a driver's license. The fact of the matter is that you could look at driving as a privilege, voting as a right. We seem to be safeguarding the privilege of driving to a much greater degree than we do the sacred right of voting. So, you know, much of the concerns that we have here expressed today, I think, could be dealt with by increasing the security of registration, making sure people are not allowed to warehouse ballots somewhere out of the control of elections officials. In the meantime, although this is not a perfect amendment, and folks have asked us not to move it forward, I want more cameras in the elections officials, and I want a transparent process for counting the ballots wherever they are in the process. So I'm going to support the amendment, Madam Chair, notwithstanding the fact that just lately I've heard that there are some real objections to this. This is an evolutionary process, and we've got a long way to go before we get to ballot security, in my opinion, having to do with the issues that I raised here. That's what I have to say, Madam Chair. Thank you
for your comments, Senator Farioli. And the Chair certainly agrees that there are a lot of issues to be addressed that are beyond the scope of the amendment that we're looking at today. And in fact, I just heard this morning that the sorting centers in Oregon for processing of mail that were slated to be closed earlier and had a reprieve are now back on the chopping block to be closed again. And so that raises additional questions about how soon a ballot has to be mailed to get to the county clerks by 8 p.m. on election day. So the problems never cease.
I'm in a position to guarantee the security of elections. Simply let me do the counting, and I guarantee that they will come out the way they should.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Any other questions for Mr. Trout? Okay.
Madam Chair, yes. I'd just like to thank Senator Farioli, and I'd be happy to work with you, especially on having a time limit that people can hold those ballots. That's something that we have looked at and would like to address in the next session. I'd be happy to work with you on that and recognize that you know, we're trying to maintain or attain more transparency and security in the process, and this is a step in the right direction, but acknowledge that it's not complete, but I appreciate the willingness to push this forward, and we'll continue to work to make it bigger and better.
Madam Chair, I'm going to take the invitation seriously and take Mr. Trout up on that. I'll bring a list of things.
I'll look forward to it.
Thank you.
You know where I am.
Yes,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
He goes,
Riddick.
I go.
Seems like a work group.
Madam Chair, we came into this building together.
You'll probably take us out.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. And I believe we did open this as a work session as well as a public hearing. Senator Farioli, did you have a motion?
I will move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1517.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 1 amendment into Senate Bill 1517. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection?
I object.
Senator Atkinson objects. So, Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. Senator Farioli, did you wish to make a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that the amended version of Senate Bill 1517 be sent to the floor with a due adopt recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 1517 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay. Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And I don't see anybody leaping up, so the chair will volunteer to carry this bill.
Madam Chair, if you would accept a co-carrier, I'd like to co-carry. But what I will do in my carry is raise the issue of the unvoted ballots as a concern yet to be dealt with in a future legislative session, if that would be, meet your approval.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. I would be pleased and honored to have you as a co-carrier.
Thank you.
So we will have co-carriers on the bill. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1517. And Aaron, I believe that completes our work for today. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so members, I think we will see each other tomorrow on the floor, some of us anyway. But with nothing further to come before us.
That would be at 9:30 tomorrow?
That would be at 9:30 in the morning. So with nothing further to come before us today, we are adjourned.